Well, good morning. Man, it's awesome to have you guys here. I was telling Catherine that I think our praise team and Sal needs a raise, man. That's amazing. They do such an awesome job every single Sunday to allow us to get prepared. I mean, they set the whole scene to be able to worship. And we really don't need me. I mean, it was amazing. And you know, and I don't know if you guys know that he wrote that last song, He's Alive. And I mean, the gifts and the talents that we have in this church is absolutely amazing. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. I want to talk about what God can do through you. I want to talk about your gifts. I want to talk about the power, the supernatural power of what God can do. And as Nathan read that scripture in 1 Peter 4:10, it said, God has given each of you, every single one of us, a supernatural gift. That's what it is. It's a supernatural gift. From His great variety of spiritual gifts, use them well to serve one another. Use them well. And that's kind of the question we need to ask. Are we using the gifts, the supernatural gifts, well for God? And that's a kind of a personal question that we need to kind of start with and begin to think about in our own life. And so what I want to do, I don't know if I'm getting some feedback from you guys, but what I want to do this morning, as I come to the end of my summer series on becoming a supernatural hero, I want to just to remind us of what we've learned. And if you've missed any of the past 4 weeks, I want you to know that we studied, number one, the first thing was, how do you be able to stand alone for what is right and noble and just? There are going to be times in our life that we have to stand alone. It could be at school. It could be in your family. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in your community. But there may be times that God's going to end up putting you in a situation where you're going to feel all alone. And the thing is, it's going to come to you is, what is right? What is just? What is noble? What is it that the Lord wants you to be able to do? And there's going to be times we may have to stand alone. But I want you to know, you're not alone. See, when you have God in your life, you have the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside you, and you have God inside you. Okay? He that is in you is greater than what? So you know it, right? The second thing that we learned in the study is that becoming a supernatural hero is that we have to be willing to make supernatural sacrifices for others. Are we making sacrificial time and giving and serving? Are we doing things for other people? Or what we are living for, is it just me? Is it what I can get out of life? Am I climbing my own ladder? Am I trying to live this life that is just for me? See, a real supernatural hero, it's never about them. It's always about someone else. It's always about the people that can't speak up for themselves. It's always for the people that need the help. It's the people that you may have to come alongside of and bring them along with you. Especially if you're walking with the Lord strong right now. Guess what? There may be a day when you're weak and you need someone to walk with you, right? We all need each other. There's times that I feel defeated, deflated, not walking. I feel stagnant in my spiritual life. And you know what I need? I don't need you to say, well, he's probably doing okay. I need you to come alongside of me, and I need you to ask me how I'm doing and help me along in my own journey, in my spiritual walk. We're all in this together, right? Remember when I walked down here last week? We're all in this together. The third thing that we saw in the scriptures is that we have to be willing to take supernatural risks for the Lord. Well, it's been 2 weeks. Can I ask you a question? What have you been doing that's taking some risks for the Lord? Have you gone out of your comfort zone? Have you done something that is supernatural that you said, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to jump off this ledge. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to ask you, God, that you're going to have to work through me to be able to accomplish this thing. So What are you doing to ask God? Because every single superhero has to take risk. They can't stay in their cave. They can't stay in their shelter. They can't stay up on the penthouse floor and look and see that there's all these issues out there and never leave the comfort of their own place. They have to be willing to go and take the risk. And you know what? Sometimes we fall. Sometimes it's not always that easy. The scripture tells us that in this world, there is trouble. He doesn't promise a perfect place. And he definitely doesn't promise you, and when you give your life to Christ, he said everything's going to go well. Oh, no. He said, in this world, there will be troubles, but take heart. What? I have overcome the world. And last week, to become a supernatural hero, we studied that you need to know that God will supernaturally work through your weaknesses to make you strong. Isn't that great? You don't already have to be strong. You don't already have to have it all put together. You don't have to feel like you got it all made. You know the Bible left and right, that you can quote every scripture, or that your prayer life is 4 hours a day, or that you're here every single Sunday, or that you're in Equipping the Saints or a Sunday school class. You're connected here. You're doing this and that. It's not always about that. See, sometimes we got to be willing to come to God, and we got to be poor in the spirit first. Because remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We all are going to come bankrupt. And you know what? God tells us to come bankrupt. God tells us to come humble. God tells us to be contrite before Him, before we can go to God. Because the first two commandments is all about Him. It's never going to be about us. We need to always approach Him and approach the throne of grace, because we need help. But in our weaknesses, in our thorn in the flesh, in our insecurities, in our lack of whatever, for when we are weak, we are what? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? God's always doing something that the world doesn't do, because He wants to show His power. He wants to show His power. He doesn't want to show our power. He wants to show His power. He wants to do the impossible. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to close this series by this. What supernatural power do you have? I've been looking forward to this last one. What supernatural power, what supernatural gifts do you possess? And you may be sitting there thinking, I have no idea. You may be thinking, I've never seen anything supernatural in my life. Or you may be saying, oh, do you have time? Because I can stand up right now and tell you, I got this and this, and God's been working this way and doing this and that. And some of us, sometimes we just don't know what it is. Sometimes we've never even heard of that we even could possess and have a supernatural gift. And as you know, every single superhero has some type of superpower. Could you imagine going to a superhero movie? You got your popcorn, you got your Coke, you're sitting there, your kids are with you. They're so pumped, they're excited. They've already seen the trailer because it looks like it's going to be really good. And you sit there, and in the movie, the superhero does absolutely nothing. Just kind of walks around, talks. And that's about it. There's nothing that goes on. Nothing supernatural, nothing super cool. No cape. They don't fly. They just walk. They don't do anything. 2.5 hours later, they're done. And Pierce and I were watching Batman. The Dark Knight. We watched that. It was a little bit too much talking for me. I needed more fighting. I needed a lot more gifts. I needed more power. I mean, yeah, he threw some things and some funky stuff happened to his eyes and he saw stuff, but I was like, I needed more. I need more killing. I need you to start doing this and that. I know I'm a little jacked up sometimes, but I need it because I was craving something. I wanted to see something going on. Less talk, less action, more let's go. And so he asked, I think, I was like, did you like that? It's all right. I was like, it's all right. I'm not watching that one again. I went to some of you guys, though, and I asked you guys, what was your supernatural power? If you could have any supernatural power, what would it be? Watch.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Elastigirl.
What does Elastigirl do?
Stretchy.
She's stretchy?
Yeah.
So you would be stretchy like Elastigirl?
I wish I had the power to fly and save people whenever I wanted to.
To be a superhero, I would like to have the strength of Samson and the wisdom of Solomon.
If I had a superpower, it'd be to read people's minds because my job requires that of me.
To imitate the refrigerant system.
I want my superpower to be time travel.
My superpower is I want to be faster than the speed of light.
If I was a superhero, I would want to be a shapeshifter.
The superpower that I want to have is to be fearless.
If I had a superpower, it would definitely be teleportation.
I want my superpower to be reading minds.
If I could have any superpower, it would be to talk to animals. It would have really helped when I took a bunch of them to camp.
As I sit here watching Mason's football practice, my superhero powers or supernatural powers would be time travel.
I wish I can do laser eyes and fly.
I wish I can fly.
I wish that I could grow an extra set of arms when I needed them, so that when I have a lot to carry, I would have enough hands.
I think it'd be pretty cool to be able to just drink coffee black.
If I could pick any superhero power, it would be able to eat anything I wanted and never gain a pound.
Yeah, I'd like to be Super Dad. Someone that has all the right answers and for the kiddos at the right time. I'm good the way I am. God made me perfect.
I've always wanted to fly, but I've never had the money for a plane. So I think I'd like to fly.
If I had a superpower, I'd want the ability to teleport myself and anything around me. That way, I could avoid traffic.
I'd like the ability to teleport so I can avoid all the traffic around here.
Ha! That was mine!
Yeah, I'd like to be Thor since my wife thinks he's really hot.
I want the ability to speak any language.
If I had a superhero power, I think I'd pick time travel because I would really like to go back to some of my favorite moments in my life.
I would also like the ability to be humble.
Thank you guys for willing to do that. If you got your Bibles, if you would, turn to Ephesians. In your New Testament, Paul is going to speak about this subject. Ephesians 2:10. If you'll go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2, we're going to camp out in Ephesians just for a little bit. I want every single person to know that each one of us is created, designed, built with such purpose and with such a plan in your life. And when we're sitting here, I don't want us to leave here without knowing that. See, because when the service gets over with, if we forget why we're here and what our purpose is and that what your supernatural gift is, your ability to go out in the church and out of the church because you were created for such a masterful plan. If we forget that, like so often after a movie, we're wishing we had something like that, that we could do that, that there's this dream that would be so cool if. I want you to wipe away the ifs. I want you to wipe away that this is some type of movie. I want you to wipe away that this is some type of pretend story. And then we're done in 10, 15 minutes. This is the real thing. I want to end with this, but I want us in a way to start with this. And when we look at our own personal life as a Christian, and here we are in Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells us this. For we are God's masterpiece. Think about that. A masterpiece. Doesn't that sound already pretty crazy? I mean, that is crazy. That we are his masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us along the way. We are his masterpiece. We're built, we're designed, we're made by God. But you know what I was thinking? That's cool. But I want to know this question. What are those good things that he planned for us? In this particular scripture, what is it that you're supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? What am I supposed to do that is the good things? What's the good stuff? What is it in the movie when I'm watching it with Pierce? What is the good stuff that I'm waiting for, that I'm looking for, that I'm longing for, that I want to keep going and going and going, where I can say, dang, that's a good movie. And I never want it to stop. See, when we are experiencing the good stuff and when we're doing the good things, don't we not want it to stop? We want it to keep going and going and going. But when we're not doing the good things, we like, oh man, I wish I could get over with that. Or I wish I could forget that. Oh, why do I keep repeating that? It's the good stuff that brings peace. It's the good stuff that makes us happy. It's the good stuff that brings that fulfillment and joy and John 10:10, that abundant life that he was talking about. How can we use our supernatural gifts to do the good things that he has planned for us from the very beginning when he created us? As a church, I want you to do something really quick. I'll take 15 seconds. I want you to look around real quick. I'll wait. Just look around. Stare at somebody. I know, it's very awkward. This is a very awkward time right now. And I want you to go ahead and I want you to stare at somebody and I want you to think about what amazing things does that person possess? What do you see in that particular person? Even if you don't know that person, what do you think they are? Why is everybody still staring at me? I'm only good at eating. That's my gift. All right? I have this supernatural gift of eating. Serving others. You see that in somebody? You see a teacher over there? You see a giver? You see people taking on roles in the church? Do you wonder what certain people are doing behind the scenes? You see someone that truly actually prays for you? You notice the person that gives you a hug and shakes your hand and encourages you? The person that might have wrote you a card? The one that's planning your events for the future? For some ministry? You see a coordinator, a deacon, a staff member? You see someone that's running some ministry? You see someone that's always available for you? You see someone that helps guide and lead your family? You just see a good friend? You see a good mom and dad? You see a good kid? You see somebody inviting people to church? You see someone that goes and does hospital visits or cooks you something to eat, like enchiladas? Or macaroni and cheese. You see someone that has to endure hostile environments at work. What good things are you doing for God's kingdom right now? Notice I said right now. Not what were you doing 2 years ago when things were really going good spiritually for you, or maybe you were doing this or that. And maybe we're sitting here right now and say, well, you know, I'm on sabbatical for the next 5 years. God can raise other people up to do this job, even though I know I'm equipped for it, even though I know I'm supposed to be doing it, even though he's called me to do it, even though I know I got the gift for it. Let me just see if somebody else is going to do it. I was a part of this other church, and you know, I just need to take a back seat for a little bit. Notice I said now. We can't live in the past or how great or how bad things were. And not 1 year from now, by the way, when you say, well, I'm not there yet. I don't know enough verses. I'm barely praying as it is. I come to church, you know, once a month. I don't come to Equipping the Saints. I never show up for Sunday school class. I don't do this. I don't do that. But I'm not there yet. I'm going to use the gift that God has given me, even though I don't know what it is, until I feel like I get some things worked out and straightened out in my life first. See, I got to get all that stuff figured out. Once I get all that figured out, or make enough money, or my job, or I'm retired, or I'm this, or I'm that, let me tell you something. Good luck. Good luck when you get everything all perfect in your life, and then you're ready to start serving the Lord. Good luck if you're living in the past, and you say, I've already arrived, I've already done this and done that. Or, you know, I made mistakes here, so God can't use me anymore now, so I'll just go ahead and hang up the hat and put up the cape. I said right now. Ephesians 3:20. Will you flip one page over? Ephesians 3:20. By the way, God loves the sound of that turning of the pages. Ephesians 3:20, he who, Holy Spirit, God Almighty, is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Immeasurably more power, and he's willing to do it. Not just you, because you know what? There's times I don't feel like doing anything. I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm hungry, I'm lazy, I got things to do, I'm busy, I don't feel like doing that, I don't like them, they don't like me, I don't want to do it, I got this to do, I got to work 50 hours a week, don't have time for it, the excuse, but you know what he says, what is he willing to do? See, the Holy Spirit is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. See, he already knows all that. He already knows what's going on in our life. It's so personable, though. No other gods is asking and wanting to work through your life. Have you noticed that? Let's study any other religion. There's not another guide out there, small G-O-D, out there that is offering the opportunity to work through your life. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that wants and desires to have a personal relationship with you, to do the immeasurable things with you. The only one. God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to do something that will literally outlive you. And we're talking about eternal things. He wants to do something that will exceed your own expectations. What are you expecting in your life right now? What do you want to do? Just work your 40 hours, get your salary, go home? We want something exceeding our life. What are you wanting right now out of your family? What are you wanting right now out of your marriage? What do you want out of your kids? What do you want out of your spiritual journey that's going to out exceed your expectations and outlive you? What are you asking God right now for, to do? See, I feel like so oftentimes we miss out. There's two things that we miss out on all the time. We miss the boat, and we miss out because we don't ask and because we don't imagine. What was the last thing you asked God for? What was the last thing you imagined? James tells us, and it's not going to be up there, James 4:2-3 says this, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And then you ask and you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want to only have what will give you pleasure. What is our motives for asking God? And if we're not asking God for the stuff, why not? You don't believe that he can do it? Well, there may be a reason why he doesn't do it. Maybe it's all for you instead of maybe it's for his kingdom. God's in the blessing business. I promise you, he is. Prayer of Jabez, they wrote a whole book about it. Bless me indeed, Jabez asks. God's in the business of blessing you and doing the impossible. But the problem is we don't step out in faith and ask him for it because we feel like either one, we're not worthy, insignificant, he doesn't have time for me, my stuff is too little for him, or my stuff is too, what, big for him. We also miss out on the boat and miss out on things too because we live in this me-ism mentality. We're often asking the question, what are you going to do in my life? But I want to ask you something. Is that really the right question that we need to be asking? What are you going to do in my life? What are you going to do in my life? Is that really the right question that we need to be asking? And I want to challenge us as we leave here today. I want to challenge us and encourage us today to begin asking a different question. God, what can I do for you? How can I serve you, God, and the children that you love, and my friends, and my church family, my body of Christ, and my co-workers, and my neighborhood, and my community? How can I serve best you and make a difference? Doesn't that sound a little bit less selfish, a little bit more heroic, a little bit more loving, a little bit more supernatural, a little bit more eternal, a little bit more with purpose? See, these two verses talk about God had a plan for us long ago, and it's that plan. Every single member here at Living Hope is a minister of the gospel. Did y'all know that? Every single one of us. Every single one of us has a job. Every single one of us has a role to play in God's kingdom for the body, as the body of believers. It's not me that's the only minister here. If you're a newborn Christian, a born-again Christian, you are called as a saint. You are a minister of the gospel. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. We are all on God's staff. Don't forget that. It's not five of us. We're all in this. All 157, 170 of us. We're all on staff here at Living Hope Baptist Church. Did you know that? We're all on staff, on God's staff. He all has a role and a job for us to do. Every single one of us. Even though you may not have the staff title, you may not have the deacon title, but you're still qualified and certified as a servant of Christ, aren't you? So what are you asking God to do? What are you imagining? How can God exceed your expectations? Is he equipping you right now? Are you even asking to be equipped right now? To do the immeasurable things? Life is short. Life is an urgency. Life is but a vapor, and bam, it vanishes. Everything that we do requires one main element, too, by the way. Every show that we watch, every story we read about requires faith. Five letters, F-A-I-T-H. It requires us to step out in faith. We have to trust him in the things that are unseen and the things that are uncomfortable. Think about the things that are unseen that we do not trust God with. Because we're not here to tell the future and because we don't always know what's coming down the road, the pike, it means that we got to step out in faith and trust him. We got to be willing to do that. We got to be heroic and courageous and supernaturally. We need supernatural faith to help us get along. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths, right? That takes trust. He said trust. It takes faith to trust him and to give over those things. The things that are uncomfortable. Not everything in life is going to be comfort. We like comfort. I love comfort. I really do. But unfortunately, to be supernatural, you're going to be uncomfortable a lot. And we're going to always seem to be wanting to run back to comfort. Doesn't work that way. See, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Your old life is gone, and behold, a new life has begun. This is the first verse I ever memorized in my life. 1989 in October, Cheryl Fletcher told me, do not forget this verse. Troy, the things that you did in your past, forget about it. Troy, the things that went on in your life, the things that you experienced, the things that you did, the way that you lived, all blah, 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 all those things that I look back. She said, forget about it. And quit, don't even forget, don't even remember even all the good things you did. Because right now what's happening is that you're something that's different. You're supernatural. You have a supernatural God inside you. And so does every single one of you. Every single one of us all has and will receive something brand new in us to be able to use those heroic supernatural gifts. Memorize that and know it. Why? Because we were created to serve God. Did you know you were saved to serve? You were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ to do one job. To serve. What's your assignment? What's your role? What's your gift? 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us grace through Christ Jesus. Romans 14:12 says, yes, each of us will give an account to God. You know what that account is? In 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about it. Every single one of us, the way that we're living our life, if you're a born-again Christian, what you're doing right now, for however long you got left on this earth, we're going to give an account for it. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a judgment. This judgment is not a judgment whether you are saved or not saved, whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. It's not about sin. You know what this judgment is about? It's about how you served the Lord. We're all going to stand. And no, you're not going to stand with your mommy and your daddy or your great aunt or your Uncle Bob or your grandfather who was in the ministry. No one is standing there with you. We're all standing by ourselves before the judgment. We're coming alone. And we're all going to give an account for the good things and the bad, the light, the recompense. It's going to happen. And this is why it's important for me to talk about this, to build an urgency of Christ in you, knowing that you got rewards and you have a judgment that's waiting someday for you. It's not about your sin. This is called a believer's judgment. This is a believer's judgment. Tommy Nielsen from Denton Bible said this, what matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of it. Not how long you lived, but how you lived it. What is your attitude right now? What is your true desires right now to serve the Lord? If you have no desire to serve the Lord, if there's no donation you want to put forth to it, if you're not trying to build the kingdom of God, then I pray that you begin to ask God, what can you do in my life that would change that, Lord? Because I don't want to just live for me. I want to live for the eternal. I want to close with this verse, but I also want to close with this question again. God, what can I do for you? And here's the closing verse, Romans 12, 4 through 10. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, well, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach them well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is to give, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, though, because in the Bible it talks about love is the whole center point of all of this. If you use any of your gifts but you have no love, it's like a gong, dong, dong. It's a cymbal, bang, bang. It's just flat out annoying. It's flat out irritating. It's flat out wrong. It doesn't go along with the gift. If we do not have love with every single spiritual gift that we're doing, then the gift is pointless. Really love them is what it says. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Doesn't that sound pretty powerful? Doesn't that sound pretty wholesome? Doesn't that sound like a church should be? One of the things that I'm the most proud of that I hear over and over and over again is this is the most friendly and loving church. Everybody seems so genuine. Everybody seems so real. I can always come and just feel like I can be myself. Thank you for that. These are just some of the gifts, by the way. There's a lot more. Supernatural heroes will desire to truly want to live this way. Right now, tomorrow, the rest of your life. You don't know how long you got. It's not so much how much you put in, it's the quality, not the quantity. It's the quality. The quality of your time. It's not that you gave 1 hour to God, but distracted the whole time. It may be 5 minutes with Him, and you were radically changed supernaturally through Him, speaking to you and understanding. It's never about the quantity. It's never about the quantity of how much you serve, how many times you came to church, how many times you did this. It's the quality. Someone could be here every single Sunday and miss the boat every single time. It's the quality. It's not much, so much what did you get out of this message? What did you get out of this worship from that beautiful song? It's not so much what you got out of something, but what did you give to this service today? What did you give God today? I'll tell you what He wants. He wants your heart. He wants your love. Because if love is everything, and God is love, and love is what controls all the supernatural gifts, then that's what He wants from you. Okay? How do you become a supernatural hero? You got to invite Christ into your life. Let's pray. So that's what we're going to do today, Lord. We're just going to pray. And we're going to wait for You to speak to us. During this time of invitation, Lord, I don't even want to get in the way. I just want You to speak to us. I want You to show us what we need to know, what we need to do, and begin asking the right question. How can we serve You? I pray that God, that in each one of us, that we'll look at our heart and realize it's truly just about the quality of the time, about everything. It's the quality of giving. It's the quality of our motives. It's the quality of our forgiveness. It's the quality of saying thank you. It's the quality of serving. It's the quality of reading your scriptures. Let's begin thinking about the quality instead of so much about the quantity. Becoming supernatural has nothing to do with us except for giving our life over to you, because it's supernatural. It all comes from you. And that's what I pray will happen today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.